too many handouts this morning. I printed 30. Okay. This will be lesson number 12 in our study in 2 Peter. We're still in 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll go over this briefly here one more time, get it on our mind. And the Bible says, starting at verse number 1, Simon Peter. We talked about the old man and the new man, and how Simon Peter represented both. A servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. All right, so he's writing to people who are not saved by their works, not saved by keeping the law, but who have been given the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Imputed righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, who is their Savior. Okay, they're not saving themselves. He is their Savior. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So we're not only saved by the Lord, we grow in the Lord. Okay, saving grace and then multiplied grace for the same. Saving peace and then multiplied peace for the same. Verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life. Okay, that's eternal. That's eternal. And godliness. That's temporal. Okay. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, that's eternal, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, that is temporal. All right, so we've seen many, many times now, these are all the things that God gives to us when we're saved. Then, our responsibility. Verse number 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, what's that? Full effort, full devotion, full dedication, add to your faith virtue. God told you to do it. He's not going to do it. He told you to do it. And to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things, not one of them, not two of them, and not certainly not none of them, if these things be in you, all that we just read in that list, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's good to have knowledge, but knowledge can be unfruitful. The Pharisees, for example, they had knowledge. Scribes had knowledge. Many people have had knowledge, but knowledge is unfruitful without these additional character qualities and spiritual graces. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I'll tell you how blind a man can be who doesn't have these things. He can't see afar off. He can't see any farther than himself. That's how blind you get. He can't see the people in his own home. He can't see the people in his own church. He can't see the lost and the dying in his own community. If all you can see is yourself, then you've got an eye problem. E-Y-E and I. You've got an eye problem. So we've studied this matter of virtue, that's doing good, doing the right thing. We've studied the matter of knowledge, that's knowing the Word of God, knowing the Scriptures. We studied about temperance, that is governing one's emotions and one's personality. We studied this matter of patience and found that patience is not just waiting. You're going to wait, whether you're patient or not. Patience is waiting in faith, joyfully, hopefully, knowing and believing that God is going to work all things out for your good and for His glory. And we studied godliness, the righteousness of the Lord manifest and worked out in our life. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And if God is dwelling in you as a saved man or a saved woman, there ought to be some evidence of that in the life that you live in the flesh. So today, this morning, the Bible says in verse number 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. You know, our crowd, you know, we got the Bible, and we got the right Bible. We've got the doctrine, we got the right doctrine. Not necessarily. If you're not kind, you don't have the right Bible or the right doctrine. If you're rude, you don't have the right Bible or the right doctrine. If you're not gracious and of a sweet spirit, you don't have the right Bible or the right doctrine. If you're not merciful and long-suffering and just nice to people, you don't have the right Bible or the right doctrine. It is not a sin to be polite. It is not a mark of spirituality to say, hey, look at me, I can't get along with anybody. That proves I got the truth. Or, well, Jesus didn't get along with anybody. You're wrong. You're wrong. There are millions of people that love and adore the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a heaven full of all kinds of beings, some you can't even comprehend, that just think He's the nicest guy that ever lived. And they adore Him. And so this idea that I've got to be rude and rough and nasty and hard and belligerent, and if I didn't get in a good fight today, I wasn't walking with the Lord. That is not in the Bible. That's against the Bible. You brought that with you in your flesh. You brought that to the Bible. That is not in the Bible. You tried to find something in the Bible to justify your bad attitude and lack of good training. But that is not scriptural. That's not scripture. Brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. You should speak to every man as you would want other men to speak to your own brother. You should speak to every woman as you would want other men to speak to your own mother, your own sister. You should never speak to an aged woman in the way that you wouldn't want someone to speak to your very own mother or grandmother. And you should never speak to a child in a way that you wouldn't want a stranger to speak to your child. You know, the fact that you're nervous and insecure when somebody challenges you when you're out witnessing doesn't mean that you're spiritual when you start to criticize people and you get in the flesh. It just means you're uptight and you're scared and they pushed your buttons and you reacted in the flesh. And you can't call it Bible preaching and say, bless God, if nobody got mad, you didn't preach the Bible. Really? What if they all love the Lord and you lifted up the Lord? What's to get mad about there? Jesus saves. Nobody got mad. Well, maybe everybody was saved and they knew He was the Savior. So the Bible says it's up to me to add brotherly kindness to my spiritual life, because without brotherly kindness, all of my knowledge and all my zeal and all my gifts and all my opportunities will be rendered fruitless. Look, brother, it's great that you know the Bible. It helped your marriage because you learned how to be kind to your wife. Sister, it's great that you know the verses about the things he doesn't have right yet. Your husband doesn't have right yet. But it would help your marriage if you would be kind to your husband. Well, I came here to hear preaching. Yeah, I know. You want to hear preaching about somebody else. But it's preaching about you and it's preaching about me that's the most beneficial and the most needful. That's what we need. Here's what I found. The people who evidenced the least kindness in their life are the most offended when somebody is not kind to them. It's kind of a strange thing. People that aren't nice to anybody, people who are always mouthing off and always showing their flesh and always just rubbing everybody's nose and everything, boy, don't you dare let them perceive that you are mistreating them one time or they'll let you have it. They won't stand for it. Why? You weren't kind to me. Well, come on, if it's such an offense for somebody to not be kind, then you better be kind. We ought to be. Look, I know we ought to preach the gospel, and we do. And we ought to knock on doors, and we do. And we ought to give out gospel tracts, and we do. But we also ought to hold the door open for people. And we also ought to let others go first. And we also ought to say please and thank you and yes sir and yes ma'am and be courteous and be kind. And just do the basic things that, hey, lost people did 50 years ago anyways. Because it was important to be a gentleman or be a lady. Not to just always get your way and push everybody else aside. It's good. It's a good thing to be kind. Why don't we pray before we go any further with this? Heavenly Father, as we look into this matter of adding kindness to our faith, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to recognize where we come short and to even put it to the test and put it into practice. And even this afternoon, Lord, to try to go out and be kind to someone that we haven't been kind to. And Lord, let's see the blessings that come from this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Kindness means, and I believe I gave you partial definitions there in your notes, disposed. That means ready, willing, inclined, likely to do good to others. Disposed to do good to others. Okay, how's that for Bible? Disposed is my disposition. My first instinct is to do good to somebody else. Not just a particular somebody else, but others, all inclusive. Everybody else. My first move is, how can I help you? My first move is, how can I be a blessing to you? My first move is, how can I make your life easier? Your life more comfortable? Your life more enjoyable? We are to add brotherly kindness. That is my disposition, my, if you want to call it, personality, my, if you want to call it, instinct. Look, my first impulse, my first reaction is toward others, not self. Kindness, disposed to do good to others. Kindness means disposed to make them happy, by granting their requests. How about that? You know what a mother should be to her children? Kind. Do you know what a father should be to his children? Kind. Do you know what children should be to their parents? Kind. Do you know what saved people should be to other saved people? kind. Meaning what? Disposed to make them happy. Not disposed to demand that they make me happy. Disposed. My first move is, what can I do at church today to make everyone there happy or happier? And by the way, stay home is not an acceptable answer if you think staying home would make somebody else happy. All right? That's not it. That's not the answer. We're talking about at church, okay? What can I do to lift somebody's load, bear somebody's burden, lighten somebody's day? It's not about me. Come on. I know we keep saying that, but the Lord wants us to add to our salvation self-denial and love for others. That's what it takes. Kindness, disposed to grant their requests. Could you do this for me? Could you do this for the Lord? Could you do this for the church? Could you get that right so God could bless? Well, okay, so no is your answer. But if you want to be fruitful, yes needs to be your answer. If you don't want to be barren, yes needs to be your answer. If you want God to work, yes, He is in you, but He wants to work through you. If you want God to work, then your answer to these requests made by others needs to be yes and not no. Just as a matter of introspection, meaning I don't want you to raise your hands, when's the last time you visited a sick person or in the hospital? Well, I'm not the pastor. Where's that in the Bible? Only pastors visit sick people in the hospital. Show me. It's just kindness. When's the last time you prepared a meal for somebody who was ill and you took it to their home? No, we're not talking about what you have to do. We're just talking about making somebody else happy. That's all I mean. It's just little things. It's little things that take my time away from me, take my energy away from me, and show that my devotion to making is to making others happy, not to demanding that others make me happy. If I don't add that to my great salvation and my King James Bible, I'm going to be fruitless. Man, these people who can't stay in a church 3 months, and every church they go to, they tear the thing all to pieces because they're so spiritual. You're not spiritual. You're selfish. You go to a place, and as long as everything is about you, it's okay. And as soon as it's not about you, it's not okay. You're never going to bear any fruit. Why? Because you're not kind. What is kind? Kind is disposed to make others happy by granting their requests, doing things for others. Kind means disposed to supply the wants of others or assisting them in their distress. You know, why do you always have to talk about your problems? Why can't you let somebody else talk about their problems? Why does every prayer request have to be about what you want? Why can't we pray about what somebody else needs? Why do so many Christians who have a home and food on the table complain about, we don't have this and we don't have that? When there's so many people around the world who are starving, or they're in the middle of a war or some kind of civil unrest or political overthrow. I mean, look, if you're from a country that can get through an election without any blood being spilled in the streets, that's something you can be happy about. Even if your guy didn't win. It's a great thing if you can walk into a voting booth and not have to worry about somebody driving a tank down the boulevard and blasting you to pieces for voting for the wrong guy. It's a blessing. Then people complain at Christmas time. I'm just talking about things people complain about. People say, yeah, you know, I got 34 gifts, yeah, but I didn't get the only thing I really wanted. People are never satisfied. How was your holiday? Well, it was okay, but it wasn't as good as last year. Last year we had 34,000 Christmas lights. This year we were only able to add 24,000 lights because, you know, the economy's so bad and all. It's crazy, man. I mean, kindness. How about checking up on somebody else? How about in their distress? How about checking up on somebody else's wants? How about finding out how you can make another person's life better instead of making everybody line up to make your life better? Kindness means having tenderness or goodness of nature, proceeding from tenderness or goodness of heart. Benevolent as a kind act, a kind return of favors rendered. You know, it's a good thing just to be kind. Just to do something for somebody, help somebody out. You know, that, think about that priest and that Levite. They saw that man beaten and robbed, half dead. The Levite just went on by. You say, well, where was he going? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. You say, well, where did he have to be? The Bible didn't say. He just couldn't be bothered with somebody else's trouble. That priest went by. The Bible says he didn't stop. He saw that man was all... He said, well, he's already robbed. I can't get anything off of him. I might as well keep going. Just kidding. Seeing if you're paying attention. That priest, he just went on by, just like the Levite. Bible doesn't say where he was going. Bible doesn't say what he had to do. He just couldn't be bothered with somebody else's trouble. Okay, now, you know what the problem was with that priest? It wasn't that he didn't believe in God, right? He did believe in God. He just wasn't interested in anybody else. What was the problem with that Levite? The Levite believed in God. His job is offering sacrifices to God in the temple. He just couldn't be inconvenienced with somebody else's trouble. When's the last time you stopped what you're interested in and what you want to do and what you want to talk about and what you want to consider important and just gave yourself to making somebody else happy? That's what the Christian life is all about. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:26. Well, let's go there. I'll let you turn there. Proverbs chapter 31. You know what a missionary is? Just some person who went out of their way to try to make another person happy. You know what a Christian minister or a Christian worker ought to be? Just somebody who went out of their way to try and make somebody else happy. That's what it's all about. Now look at this virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. Not only the objective, I mean, it's not just for ladies that know God. It's not just their objective, but also a picture of the New Testament church, right? I mean, who should be a more virtuous woman than the espoused virgin bride of 2 Corinthians 11? So the Bible says in Proverbs 31:26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. In her tongue is the law of kindness. You know what laws are? They are rules which govern behavior. That's what they are. Thou shalt not. What is that? It's not words on a piece of paper. It is a rule to govern behavior. Okay? That's what laws are. So you know what the Bible says? It says the virtuous woman has a rule that governs the behavior of her tongue. In other words, her law is, if this is not going to bring happiness to others, I'm not going to say it. If this is not going to be a blessing to others, I am not saying it. If it is not going to lift the load or brighten the day or help someone else, I'm not going to say it. That's the law. And gossip is against the law. And the tale-bearing is against the law. Accusations are against the law. Cursing is against the law. Dividing is against the law. I'm not going to use this marvelous gift of speech to hurt when I could use it to help. It's the law. Now, do you know what you've got to do? You have got to add that to your faith. You can be saved, brother, and have a tongue that is not governed. You can be saved, sister, and speak as one who is completely controlled by your self-interest. And so even though I'm saved and know the Bible, look, the Holy Spirit of God comes to indwell the believer the very moment they're saved. Is that not true? You've got the Holy Spirit. You come to church, hear the preaching, learn scripture, go home, read the Bible, learn scripture, right? Now, when I get together with one or two or three persons, if I choose to use my tongue to speak evil of a brother or evil of a sister or try to magnify myself, am I saved? Yes. Do I have the Holy Spirit? Yes. Do I know the Bible? Yes. Am I bearing any fruit at all? No. So, even though I have all these spiritual blessings, though I have all these great gifts from the Lord, do you see how I can render those things of none effect if I don't add kindness to all the things that God has given me? I'll give you an example. There was a group of Christians. They were outside of a grocery store one day passing out gospel tracts to people who were going in the store or coming out. And there was a young man in that group who had, he'd only been saved about 3 or 4 weeks. But he was ready to go. He was on fire for God. I mean, he'd already read the whole New Testament from one end to the other. I mean, really, some people have been saved 3 or 4 decades and haven't even read the whole New Testament. So here's this newborn Christian. He's out there with this Christian group handing out gospel tracts. Some people have been saved for years, and they've never handed a gospel tract to a stranger. So he's out there. And this little old lady pulls up in her car, gets out of the car, heads for the store. And, she's just a frail little white-haired lady. So as she comes walking by the Christian group there, this young fella, he says, "Excuse me, ma'am, can I give you something about Jesus?" And she said, "No, I don't want it." And he said, "Then go to hell." Now, you know why he did that? Because that's what he'd always said to people who crossed him. So is he saved? Yes, he's saved. Does he have the Holy Spirit? Yes, he has the Holy Spirit. Has he read the New Testament? Yes, he read the New Testament. Has he added kindness to his repertoire? Not yet. Not yet. So when the preacher talked to this young fella, he said, the young guy said, "Well, what are you supposed to say when they tell you no?" "Well, you're supposed to be kind." "But she turned down Jesus." "Yeah, so did you for how many years?" And so you can see some damage was done there because of his lack of kindness. Even if that preacher had gone and tried to make things right with that woman, it probably wouldn't work. The damage was done. Okay? So go to Luke chapter 6 now. Luke 6. Do you see how a young man who's zealous for the Lord, who's doing good works, how he just rendered that attempt at good works unfruitful by being unkind? You have got to add kindness to the gifts that God has given you. Luke 6 and verse number 35. This is Jesus speaking. "But love your enemies and do good." There's virtue. "And lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest." Now, wait a minute. Aren't you God's child through salvation? But what he's desiring here when he says that, is there ought to be a family resemblance. All right, let's keep reading. "For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil." You say, "Well, there's bad people in that world." Well, that doesn't give you the license to be unkind. There's people out there, and I did this for them, and they didn't appreciate it, and I gave that for them, and they didn't appreciate that, and I went out of my way, and they didn't appreciate it. So what? Did you do it to be appreciated? Okay, or did you do it because it's right? Did you do it to be appreciated, or did you do it because you are kind? How many things does God do every single hour of every single day that are not appreciated? Right? Sometimes people at my job, they will use the Lord's name as a cuss word. And if they notice that I'm there, they'll get a little bit embarrassed and say, "Oh, sorry, Bob." And I always wonder, why are they apologizing to me? They didn't curse and use my name. Now, if they curse and use my name, then they should apologize to me. If they curse and use Jesus' name, they should apologize to Jesus. But they won't do that. And you know what the Lord is going to do to them for doing that terrible thing? He's not going to break their neck. He's going to be kind to them. You know why? Because the Lord is kind. God wants us to be kind. He doesn't want us to be equal, you know, if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. That's not how it works. That's not kindness. You know, if you give me what I want, I'll give you what you want. That's not it. No, he wants us to be kind. Okay, that is our disposition, is to be good to people, whether they're good to us or not. That's the Lord. Now watch this kindness. Watch how the Lord helps you understand it. Verse 35, again, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Verse 36, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. You know what mercy is? It's God not giving us what we deserve. You know what kindness is? You don't treat people the way you think they deserve to be treated. Okay? You treat people the way they should be treated, the way God treats you. Just be kind. Don't make people qualify for it. Just be kind. Don't make people earn it. God doesn't make you earn it. You don't qualify for God's kindness, but He is kind. He's very, very nice to me. He's very good to me. Romans chapter 12, let's look there. Now, here we venture in a little bit deeper. Romans 12. Romans 12, chapter 12, verse number 10. Verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. You say, well, I don't understand what that means. In honor, here's what it means. In honor, preferring one another. You know what kindness is? I prefer that you get your way. I don't have to get my way. I prefer that your way is made easier, even if my way is made more difficult. I prefer that you get a blessing, even if I am temporarily hindered by making sure that you get a blessing. That's it. Come on. We all understand this. I mean, I'm amazed that, for example, I go on vacation, I go visit my parents, and I'm amazed how, you know, every time we sit down to a meal and we're almost done, you know, if there's ever just one pork chop left for whoever wants it, my mom and dad seem, they always say, well, you take it, Bob. We're not hungry. You know, how can that be? I mean, even if I say, no, that's okay, you eat it. You know, no, Dad, you can, I'm sure you can eat more, Dad. It's okay, I'm not hungry. And I'm not convinced that he's not hungry. You know what? Well, all that is, it's just kindness. It's them being kind to me. It's just kindness. You know, I'll do it for you. I'll get up a little early. I'll stay up a little late if it helps you. I'll bear a little bit greater burden. I'll bear a little bit of inconvenience for you. I'll be a little bit put out. I'm willing to do that. Come on, that's kindness. I mean, who do you love in this world? Think about that. Who is it that you love in this world? Isn't it the people who've been kind to you? Well, then if you want people to be people to love you, there's your answer. Be kind. Be kind. People love the Lord. We love Him because He first loved us. He's kind to us. Now, here's the interesting thing. Look at this verse, verse 10. It says, be kindly affectioned. You see that word? Affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Now, there's two words in your Bible. Most of us live in one word because it's a flesh word. And few of us live in this other word because it's a spirit word. One word is passion. Passion is emotion or feeling stimulated or aroused by the sight of the eyes. Okay? We love to sing hymns when we're with a bunch of people who are singing hymns. If we're not, we don't really care. We can take it or leave it. We act a certain way when we're under the pressure and influence of a bunch of Christians at church. But as soon as we leave that church influence, then we act a different way. That is related to passion. That's passion. Passion is a man who repents at 12:30, but then he goes right back to what he was doing an hour later when he's out of church. That's passion. Passion is a teenage boy looking at the girl of his dreams, and then he just goes all to pieces, okay? Affection is not anything like that. Affection is the abiding, meaning it doesn't disappear, it doesn't diminish, it doesn't get smaller. It's the abiding, genuine content of your heart. Passion, that's, you know, adultery fits in that definition. Affection, that, you know, faithful marriage would fit in that definition. Okay, for example, if my wife is 7,800 kilometers away in the Philippines, I love her just as much as if she's sitting right here. Okay, that's affection. If I'm on a business trip or she's gone to see her family, it doesn't matter. I have affection. It's real. It's genuine. It lasts. It abides. It's not just an emotion that gets stirred up by the sight. It's not just, okay, I see something, so I've got to act a certain way. Now look, the fact that you can put your Bible under your arm, smile and say hello, and act half decent to people that you go to church with is not kindness. Kindness means in the private hours of my life, in the deep recesses of my mind, I have no ill will, no bitterness, no desire for someone's hurt, no malice whatsoever. All of that is rooted out of my heart. I got rid of it. I only want people blessed. I only want people's life to be joyful. I only want God's blessings on my brothers and sisters in the Lord. That is kindness. Kindness is not what I pretend to be so that I'll look like I'm supposed to look. That's passionate. That's a passionate response. And it's designed to exalt me, isn't it? But if I see you, you know, hi, brother, good to see you. How are you today? And in reality, down here, it's hope you die or worse. That's not kindness. Just because the words came out of your mouth, it's not the way you really feel. That's just acting. That's drama. That's theater. The Lord wants it to be real and genuine towards others. All right, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. And then we'll jump over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 4. Moms and dads, when your children grow up and they get hired, get a job, go to work somewhere, they shouldn't have to take a course in customer relations. They shouldn't have to take a class on how to speak to people and how to deal with people. They should get that course starting about diaper time. Ephesians 2, the Bible says this in Ephesians 2:7, talking about what God has done for us, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know what's going to be on display for all eternity? That God was kind to you. That's what it says. Now let's go through the definition again. Look at the verse. His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Disposed to do good to others. Is God of a disposition to do good to you? Is that his way? Okay. How about before you were saved? Yeah. Yeah. Even then. Since you've been saved. Oh, yeah. He's been good. Is he good to you when you're living it? Yes, he is. How about when you're not? Yeah. He's still good. Okay, is God disposed to make you happy by granting your requests? I mean, come on, how many prayers has God answered for you? If you just went back over 2014, I bet you couldn't name all the answered prayers. I mean, in our prayer meeting, you, those of you who attend, you know how we do it. We write down all the answered prayers for the week, and we give God thanks for them that night, Monday night. But then the next week, the prayer list comes back, and those spaces are blank again for the new answered prayers and thanksgiving. Okay? But I dare say that if we took little strips of paper, and each week we wrote down each answered prayer on those little strips of paper, and then we looped them together into and made a paper chain out of them, and then we fastened it to the ceiling, we fastened it to the walls, and just kept adding to it week after week after week, I bet it wouldn't take long before you wouldn't be able to see the ceiling or the walls around here. You couldn't walk in here and not get excited about asking God for something because you see all the answered prayers. Because, I mean, look at all these things that God has done for us. And there was nobody in this church that deserved that kind of treatment. Good treatment. God, though, he's just disposed to grant our requests. Why? He wants to make us happy. He wants us to have that desire to make others happy as well. Is God disposed to supply our wants by assisting us in distress? He sure is. He sure is. Is God tender and good to us by nature? I believe he is. Does God bestow upon us kind acts every moment of every day? All right, let's go to chapter 4 now, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, what's clamor? That's anger verbalized. you let people know how angry you are with your mouth over and over again and again and again. That's clamor. And evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put that away too. And, verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So what is the standard? God's kindness to me. Okay? Now look at this. In me, as a saved man, in me dwells God the Holy Spirit. Okay? And God the Holy Spirit, his nature, his disposition, his desire is to be kind to you. When I say to God the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be kind, you're not going to be kind to him because I don't want to be kind to him. I am grieving the Holy Spirit. I am saying to the indwelling Holy Spirit, my temporary little flesh fest is going to render you incapable of being kind through me to that man because I'm not in agreement with you. I don't want him treated with kindness. I want you to get him. That's what I want. And here's the Holy Spirit inside saying, but I don't want to get him. I got Jesus on the cross, so we wouldn't have to get him. That sin is paid for. That sin is under the blood. That sin is covered. Now I want to bless him. I want to love him. Would you cooperate? No. That's most Christians, you know, they have trouble with that unforgiving heart, don't they? And it grieves the Holy Spirit. And so it's not God that, he's not the one that renders me barren. It's not God that renders me unfruitful. It is that I say to the Holy Spirit, if that is what it takes to bear fruit, I'll not bear any because well, I don't like her. Sure, there's some neighborhood where you don't want to knock on doors because you don't like those people. See, you're grieving the Holy Spirit, though. Some of you don't like people who have money. Some of you don't like people who do have money. Okay, some people like people that have money. Some people don't like people that don't have money. Depends on which end of the spectrum you are, I guess. But some of you don't like people of this color or that color or this kind of hair or that kind of face, or you know, that is. But that's you. If that's your problem, that's you. That's not God. God didn't die for the people that you like. He died for everybody. God didn't shed his blood just for the people that you're particularly attracted to. He shed his blood for everybody. Get over yourself and let the Holy Spirit work in your life. See, you got all this knowledge and all this salvation, and nothing is coming of it because God is not allowed to do anything that you don't want to do. Like be kind to somebody that you don't think deserves it. And the Lord says, look, here's the standard. I'm kind to you, and hello, you don't deserve it. Titus chapter 3. Do you know what will wear you out and wear you out in a hurry? Trying to pretend like you're kind, but you're insincere. It is so tiring to try to act like a kind person when you're not. It's so tiring to try and be nice when you're not. So just go ahead and let the Lord take control and make you kind and make you nice. So it's not this tremendous effort. Church, I don't know how I'm going to get through it. All those people, and I got to smile at them, and I got to act like I'm glad to see them, and I got to pretend like I care how they're doing. Come on, let it become genuine, and it won't wear you out. Make it real. Titus 3, look at this. Verse number 2, Titus 3:2. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Any of you ever do anything without considering God? Disobedient. Anybody? Deceived. Serving diverse lusts and pleasures. Living in malice and envy. Hateful and hating one another. But after that, all right, so that means those things are supposed to be in the past. No more, okay? But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Now think with me for a minute. This kindness and love in verse 4 is toward who? People who are being foolish, disobedient, deceived, living in malice and envy, hateful. Look, he's not being kind to the people who don't need kindness. He's being kind to the people that nobody else would give them the time of day. Isn't that amazing? Do you know what the Lord wants to do this morning? Save every man and woman on death row. so they can come and dwell in his house forever. I don't know anybody that wants to do that other than the Lord, right? Now let me try to show you the difference between pretending to be kind and being kind. You can easily get 4,000 or 5,000 people to show up for a march to raise awareness for the homeless. All right, you'll find people that are willing to go out there, march in the streets to make people aware. We got a homeless crisis here. We got people living in the streets, and that means that you're going to average about 2 people who show up for every homeless person in that area. Well, look, if the people in that march really cared about the homeless, then there wouldn't be any homeless. I mean, if 4,000 people who have a home say, we care about the homeless, all you have to do is take one home for 6 months and rotate. There wouldn't be any homeless people left. Don't say, hi, brother, I love you. Love me. Don't say, hi, brother, good to see you. Be good to me. You know, the Lord doesn't just sit up there in heaven and send down little verses to put on your wall calendar about how good he is. No, he's good. He is good. Verse number 5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Do you see that? Kindness is not payback. It's just what you are. Kindness is not an earned reward. God is kind to me. He's kind to me when I am verse 3. He saves me when I'm verse 3. He blesses me when I'm verse 3. So what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Am I going to say, if you're righteous, I'll be kind to you? That's not the Lord, and it shouldn't be us. If I don't add, street preacher, if I don't add kindness to my zeal and my dedication, then it won't be true. Door knocker, if you're not kind, you don't want to go in that living room. Parent, child, brother, sister, it's not about how many verses you know and how much scripture that you can quote. And I read the Bible through 3 times last year. Well, you must have read it real fast because you missed the verses about being nice. Come on. God is good to me because he is good. God is kind to me because he's kind. God is loving to me because he's loving. Let's let that God who dwells within us have his way. Let's not grieve him, okay? It saddens the Holy Spirit when you and I work against his purposes instead of surrendering ourselves to work for and with his purposes. Okay, pretty simple. Simple lesson today. Just be kind. Be kind. Be disposed to do good to others. Be disposed to make them happy by granting their request. Be disposed to supplying their wants or assisting them in distress. Be disposed to having tenderness or goodness of nature. Let that be your disposition. Amen. Let's stand and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that, Lord, that you have spoken to all of our hearts here today and helped us to reflect on our lives and the way we treat others and the reasons we treat them that way, and whether it's real or not. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to work on us and help us to put it into practice and to do our best to be kind, not just to act kind, but to genuinely want someone else to be happy. Help us, Lord, to think of that person that we've never made happy and make an attempt to see how it works and to give them a blessing. And Lord, I know it'll turn around and be a blessing to us anyway. And Lord, I just thank you for this instruction today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.